What's Underneath is a CastBox original produced in partnership with Studio 71.
CastBox is the fastest-growing, highest-rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all of your favorite podcasts.
You can listen to What's Underneath wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot and see for yourself.
Hello and welcome to What's Underneath,
the podcast that will inspire radical self-acceptance through empowering you to embrace what's unrepeatable in you.
I'm Lily Mandelbaum, and sitting next to me is my mom, Elisa Goodkind.
And we are Style Like You.
Style Like You is a video platform and movement for self-acceptance rooted in radically honest docu-style videos that give voice to role models of all ages, races, genders, and body types who stand proudly outside of norms and are comfortable in their skin.
In our new podcast, we are going to expand the types of intimate, unfiltered conversations we've been having in our viral video series, The What's Underneath Project.
Each week, we will interview diverse nonconformists about their relationship to style, self-image, and identity.
Being radically honest without shame and holding that honesty with compassion is self-acceptance. So to get us started on our new journey this week, I'm going to start with Lily, as before we ask others to be vulnerable with us, we believe in walking the walk ourselves. Hi, Lils.
Hey, Mom.
We're kind of new at this, but we're pretty excited to be doing it. And I'm just going to, the first question that I wanted to ask you about is, what are you most excited about right now in your life?
I'm excited about this podcast, and I'm excited about a couple other projects that we have in the works at Style Like You. But at the moment, I'm really excited about this podcast.
Why?
I'm excited to have the chance to interview many more people than we have the opportunity to get to for our videos, because videos can be super time consuming and costly, and there's just endless inspiring people that we have on our radar to interview. So I'm excited that there's going to be a forum for doing more interviews. Yeah. Excited and nervous too. A little bit nervous too.
Why nervous?
Because this is such a new format. It's going to be interesting and weird to like be in the conversation, because you and I usually cut ourselves out of the interviews that we do online. So there's something a little bit like more high pressure about having our voices in and having the full conversation be like revealed. It's a little bit more like you feel like you have to be a little bit more on or something.
Why do you feel you need to be more on?
Just because it's going to be out in the world, and I guess I have some self-consciousness that I'm still working through as far as like just not giving a fuck what people think about me.
tell a little more about that. Let's hear.
I don't know. I think being like totally spontaneous and in the moment and not caring about like sort of having everything be perfect and controlled is sort of something I'm working on in general. I can be a little bit controlling and like very planned with the way I live my life. So doing something that is a little more like fly by the seat of your pants, like a podcast is, and where I'll be in it, is just a little bit out of my comfort zone in the good way.
And why do you feel you need to let go of some of that control?
I feel I need to let go of it because it's totally stifling to be so controlling, and it makes me love life less to be like need to have such a control of. I mean, it's impossible. It's made me sick to control. To try to control the way everything goes in my life and the way people perceive me. That's been unhealthy for me, so I'm trying to let go of that.
It made you literally physically sick?
Yeah, earlier this year I got a little bit physically sick from some of those tendencies, yeah.
How did that manifest? And what was it coming from exactly?
It was coming from months and months of stress and of trying to figure out Style Like You's business plan, which is really challenging and feels really high stakes for me, because it's my life's passion and calling, and I don't want anything else for my future but to work on Style Like You. So the financial and business struggles of Style Like You are very high stakes for me, and feel really, and I spent we spent the last 10 months kind of taking this pause that was from creating content that was a little bit scary and hard, because that's what drives us and that's what's so fun and inspiring. And we took a pause to try to raise money and to try to get our shit together on that side of the business. And it was hard.
What made it hard? I mean, what went wrong? I mean, why did you get so stressed out at the end of the day? Why wasn't it as successful as you wanted it to be?
Well, I think the straw that broke the camel's back was we had this huge potential sponsorship deal that was really going to be game changing for us as far as having the funding to take what's underneath more global and continue taking it to many more countries. And it was going to enable us to like have a potential staff that we would need to function at a higher level. And it was pretty exciting, and it was, you know, confirmed for many months, and then it completely fell apart at the last minute. I mean, I don't have confirmation of it, but my hunch is that when the brand actually saw the videos that they were sponsoring, they, I think, got a little bit scared by the realness and radicalness of the content itself. And I think they didn't realize totally what they were signing on for. I think they thought it would just be like maybe light and about body positivity, but it, you know, it tears down a lot of like messed up things in our culture in a way that I don't know if at the end of the day they were willing to walk the walk. So that deal fell apart, and it kind of messed up my quote unquote perfect plan for the year. And it kind of, that threw me into a bit of a like minor nervous breakdown a couple months ago.
And what did that look like, the nervous breakdown?
I mean, my heart was like sort of beating irregularly for the last like 2 months or 3 months, which was pretty weird. And then my chest was like in this state of like tension, where it felt like it was tight all the time. And if I had any stressful thoughts, it just got tighter. And I'd never really experienced that. I'd never really experienced like my body actually like fully like rejecting like stress in that way, like, or I don't know, just my body like telling me what I needed to do in such a strong way. And I also was like kind of just like exhausted and depressed and couldn't really get up it was hard to like get up out of bed.
How did you get yourself out of it? I mean, where are you now with it?
I took a week, which was really crazy for me because I'm such a workaholic. And since our work and getting us where we need to go is such a priority to me, it's really hard for me to take time off. So I took a week where I like prioritized my recovery, or I guess like my well-being above my productivity, which was like really different for me. Like in like 9 years of doing Style Like You, I've taken like barely any vacations, which is not healthy and not something I'm proud of. Like outside of the, you know, like national holidays. And so I took like a week of like being super boundaried about like not, you know, putting my well-being above the things I needed to get done. And that helped after that like kickstarted the healing. It didn't make me all better, but it got me like 50% there. So I just had really strong boundaries for the first time of putting myself first, which is not something that usually comes naturally to me. It comes naturally to me to put like my work first.
How would you say it's changed your perspective? Like this course of events over the last year and ending in sort of this kind of dark place.
It's ended in me wanting to like radically like release my desire for control and for planning and for making perfect plans in my brain that don't necessarily work out, and to be more in my, like to function from a place more of like everyday joy and trying to be a little bit more spontaneous. Cause I think part of the breakdown came from having this like image in my head of a perfectly executed plan. And if this plan happened, then I can be happy and then I can relax and then I can take care of myself. But it kind of like has been a shift in like, it sparked a shift in me of being like, nothing comes before my well-being and my happiness. There's nothing, no end goal that I'm like waiting for before that can happen. Like I'm going to infuse that into my every day.
Has it affected your ideas now of what success looks like, or or of how, or in terms of steering Style Like You?
Well, there's a lot of ways it's affected Style Like, my vision for Style Like You. A, to just do the projects that I want to do and that I feel passionate about, and not that I feel necessarily are like so practical from a business point of view, because that's just never been what's worked for us. We've always like done the best by just doing what feels inspiring to us and letting that ride like guide us, versus like having a perfect business plan in place. So on that level, it's like re-inspired me to go back to that kind of more intuitive way of being. And then on the other hand, I would like to start figuring out ways to engage our community more in supporting us from a fundraising point of view, as opposed to big brands. Cause that's been, yeah, something a little bit, that's been a struggle for us. And the most exciting times for us have been when our community has supported us directly. The people that are affected by the videos that we make and are affected by the work can support us. So it's made me inspired to start exploring that more.
How do you feel?
I feel vulnerable right now talking about all of this, but I guess that's the point.
What does it feel like to have spent your 20s and to be 28 with this kind of responsibility?
I mean, I don't think I really know what it's like for me totally, because it's the only thing I've really known, but like, I can't compare it to another experience where I just had like a day job that I could like check in and check out of. But I mean, it's definitely, it's all encompassing, all consuming. I mean, I don't feel a separation from Style Like You. I feel like I am Style Like You, and Style Like You is me. It's just a direct expression of everything about me and how I see the world and how I want the world to be. So there's really no like bound. There's no, I don't really question. I will find a way to make it successful if, you know, like that's how I see it. Like, because that's like, otherwise I'd rather like die. I don't know. I don't really, it's, so that's, I guess that's pretty intense, but I don't, but in, and a lot of pressure, but also, I mean, it's a lot of pressure and it's scary pretty much 24/7, because it's very insecure and very in, it's not like by the books in any way, trying to make this dream a reality, but seeing
your other peers going in different directions, you know, like, I don't know, socially and I don't know, just generally in their lifestyle, and you leading such a different existence. Can you just talk a little bit about what that experience is like?
I honestly don't even think I can identify what it's like, because it is just my life. You know, I don't know. It's really intense. I mean, I can't imagine the life where like I wasn't so passionate about what I was doing and thus like had to sacrifice for it and all the things that you have to do. But yeah, sometimes I can feel like it's hard to relate to some, it can feel hard to relate to people that don't have the pressure of everything riding on you as far as how to make your future, like, or this dream and this responsibility to all the people that whose lives it affects, like, happen. Yeah, that can be like sometimes a little bit lonely, but I don't know. I feel like, I think because I have you and because I have Ramona and like people that are as committed to it as me, I feel pretty connected. So I don't feel, I think it would be way harder if I didn't have you, like, to call at any minute when I'm, you know, feeling that, the stress.
I have to say that I have kind of a lump in my throat and I feel like I'm going to cry.
Why?
Because that was really kind of intense and beautiful. So not that you didn't talk a lot about how incredibly stressed out you are and having a nervous breakdown, a real one, and your first one, which was pretty intense for me to watch.
Why was it intense for you?
It sent me into one, actually, because it's extremely, extremely upsetting to see your child in that level of distress and unhappiness and darkness. It's freaky. And it wasn't that I was ever worried, because I knew that I understand because of my own issues and that, you know, this is part of life. But it's still very painful to experience and to watch. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a very dense, filtered person. So it's a little bit hard.
That's
for me to
an understatement.
What are you the most stressed out about right now?
I mean, at this exact moment, I'm stressed because I have a feeling of good type of stress at the moment, because I have made this shift internally to just being a little bit more spontaneous and a little bit more like guttural in the decisions I'm making with my life and with Style Like You. And right now, we have a huge shoot next week. We're starting this podcast and we have a deadline of this week. And I decided to go to this acting class, start going to this acting class, which is like just for a personal challenge and liberation. And so I'm feeling a little just like good stress about like, wow, I'm really about to like jump off of many cliffs at once of like kind of creative projects. But that's like the type of stress I want to feel. That means like that's like fun stress.
So what you mean is kind of like being more balanced and not clutching and clinging so much? Is that why? I mean, that.
Yeah,
that,
I just don't have as much control on all of these things. Basically, like if it were up to me and my control brain, I would be like, okay, I'll start the podcast this week and then I won't do anything other new project for a month and everything will be perfectly planned and I'll have my Google Docs like in order and like everything will be like, no, there'll be no room for like any errors, but it's actually, that's wrong. That's the way that got me like not feeling well. So
lesson learned.
Yeah, lesson learned. So I'm more excited to be a little bit more like loose and spontaneous and joy. Just doing all of these projects at once brings me a lot of joy, and I think I don't need to control it as hard.
Okay, so why did you choose acting?
Oh, because it's my biggest fear in the planet Earth is to be that out of control and that. And like to have people watching me and I could be judged and I have no, it's very like improvisational and like, I'm going to just be making a fool of, like the goal is to like make a fool of yourself pretty much. So that's like pretty scary for me. And I never, yeah, it used to be my biggest fear. I had the biggest stage fright in the world. I never was in like a school play or anything like that. But I don't know. I feel like I've come a long way because it's not scaring me as much as it might have like a few years ago. So. But it's a good fear. I like to do things that make me feel out of my comfort zone.
Okay, Lil. So what's inspiring you right now?
Well, I went to the Lily Allen concert last night, and that was pretty inspiring.
Why?
It just like she totally like re-enthused me about like the mission of Style Like You and what we do, because she's so shame-free and just like... like lets her imperfections and messiness of her life journey like really out on the table. Like when she was performing, she's just super honest about how each song is about, you know, this fucked up relationship and her alcoholism and her divorce and how her kids, like how she's a bad mom. And it just like, it inspired me to remember that, like, you know, that's what I admire in others. And so that's what I, you know, want to embody more in myself when I can get self-conscious about. Yeah, sort of projecting a more perfect image. Yeah, and it inspired me to just realize that that's the power of what we do, is that when, by us interviewing people about their messy journeys and vulnerabilities, that inspires others. So, and that is like what self-acceptance should be. It's not about self-love in this like cheesy way that like you love yourself all the time and everything's perfect all the time. I think self-acceptance is about embracing like the messiness of life and like and being honest about the things you're struggling with, and that's like, that's part of it, just being nice to yourself about the things you're struggling with and letting it out and not being ashamed. I think shame is a big part of, like, yeah, shame is the opposite of self-acceptance, I think. And Lily, yeah, her concert last night was like shame-free. Her album is actually called No Shame, which was, I thought, also cool.
Who are you following on social media right now?
I don't like this question.
No, answer the question.
I don't know. I'm trying not to like look at social media too much right now.
Why?
As much as I can. Because I think it's destructive. It can be really destructive if you don't have like a responsible, healthy relationship with it. And I feel like I can get really, it can be easy for me to idolize other people's lives and like, yeah, get wrapped up in like, envy or jealousy. As a person that's posting on social media, I don't really want to be feeding into the idea that things look or seem perfect. But then you also I don't always want to have to have some like deep, profound thing to say that's not perfect either. Like, it can be hard to strike a balance of just being like natural and free with it, with like not feeding into this thing of like, look how I'm smiling and happy all the time, when that's not usually how life is. So I just think there can be a pressure of like figuring out the right voice.
And what about in your own personal, like in your persona versus what's real? Like, can you just talk a little bit about how that journey, what's happened on that journey of your social media persona versus what's real?
I mean, I think I try to be really honest on social media with things that I'm going through, but that's actually what becomes like the stress is like, if I don't have something profound to say or some gem of like wisdom about body image or about like the things that I feel like are kind of on brand for Style Like You and for our message, like I sometimes feel a little bit like frozen with what to post because I feel like I want to put like forth something that's inspiring and empowering and like adds to people's lives and isn't just like kind of like, again, like look at me, like I'm just happy and like flouncing around or something. But yeah, that I think that's just the challenge is like sometimes I don't feel like I have something new to add to the conversation or like wise to say. So that can feel like sometimes a little bit stressful. But
what's been a good thing about it though for you?
Oh, it's been amazing for me. I mean, it's been like one of the biggest like parts of healing my own like body image.
How so?
Issues.
How so?
Because just getting comfortable being in front of the camera and having my picture taken and just getting used to seeing my body after like so many years of wanting to like hide underneath like clothes that like made me look slimmer or made me look. Or just hiding behind the camera and interviewing other people about who were confident and comfortable in their skin. It helped me to like force myself to actually be that person and get used to like the way my body actually looks it's helped me to just see myself as beautiful through the lens of you taking pictures of me has helped me to see myself as beautiful. I think. And just like, yeah, like I think just in general, I used to, when I was younger, like not want to see my rolls, not want to see my cellulite, not want to see these things that I thought were bad or that weren't what I wanted my body to look like. And now after I've gotten used to like just confronting those things and staring them straight in the eye. And it's actually helped me to like find them beautiful. In addition to other things like seeing that in other people and finding it beautiful in them, like through our interviews. But it's been part of that journey is social media. And then obviously like the relationship with people, like there's been two, my body image, like acceptance journey has like consisted of both the challenging of myself to look at myself differently through things like social media and taking pictures of myself and actually confronting the things that I had shame around. But I think what enabled me to do that in the first place was being so inspired by the people we were interviewing and how much I found them to be beautiful because they embraced their imperfections, quote, in air quotes, imperfections. That inspired me to want to do that in myself. And then I think social media and taking pictures of myself has been a really helpful like next step for me after seeing so many people of all different body types and ages and genders and races and everything embrace the things that they had felt like an outsider for. And I actually found them to be so intoxicating and beautiful as a result of that, the fact that they embraced that about themselves. And as such, it ignited that desire to feel the same way for myself.
Yeah. So like it just kind of tore this idea that this kind of frozen perfection on the outside is beautiful in any way. Like it's
right.
It's sort of toward that.
Well,
job.
I truly believe that one is more beautiful when they are embracing, like they can, that you can actually transform the very thing that you had shame around. If you embrace and celebrate it, you can transform it into something that is like the most beautiful part of who you are. And I've seen people do that in our videos, the people that we interview, and that made me want to do that in myself. To like, instead of, so the things, cellulite and rolls that like once were the thing that made me the most ashamed, actually I think are some, like make me the most beautiful now that, or can if I like choose to embrace them, and which I think I am doing it more and more of every day, every year, as time goes on.
I know. I mean, you've even said that you're sort of, you don't even hardly have an issue with it anymore, which is pretty, I must say you're kind of my hero for that, but.
I mean, I do have still amazing. Some issues, like when you photograph me, like I obviously like pick the one that I like the best, and there's ones that I don't like because they like aren't at the perfect angles or whatever. When you first photographed me 5 years ago, it was actually before What's Underneath. Do you remember that photo shoot where like I was wearing the black dress and it was like this the beginning of us doing this like body image type of photography that was like to challenge myself. And I wrote that article on Style Like You called like Accept My Body, Fix My Body or something. But I remember crying so much after that photo shoot because I thought I looked so bad and fat in a bad way. Like when I used to think the word fat was a bad word, I cried seeing the ones with the rolls. And then I wanted to post the ones where I was wearing like the slimming black dress. Like I still was trying to pick the photos that made me look the slimmest. And last week you took my photo and I literally said to you, and someone started laughing when they heard me say this, I was like, but does that look like I have enough rolls in cellulite? Like, is that the one that'll show my cellulite and rolls the most? Should we pick a different one? Or can you take it from an angle that shows that the most? And I thought that was like pretty funny that, and like a strong like example of where I've come in that department, because that doesn't freak me out anymore.
What does it feel like?
It feels good. I mean, I don't get me wrong. Like there's still moments like where my little 12-year-old self comes out and like it, but not like in the, I mean, it's in the safety of you taking my photograph. It's usually like a positive experience and I feel really beautiful and that feels really beautiful. And in the context of getting dressed every day, I feel it's, I'm so happy that I love getting dressed now, as opposed to when I was a kid and it was like torturous and shopping, because I know what looks good on me and what feels good on me and what expresses who I am. Like all of that feels good now. So it's like a joyful experience because I am, yeah, just accepting of what's going on. But there are still tons of moments where I'll like see the little like 12-year-old creeping in. Like for example, oh, this is a good example. Like I literally felt like my 12-year-old self came out of like just in my mind, like last weekend, right, I threw my friend from high school a bachelorette party and we all like, we were totally being dorks and like wore matching pajamas. Like we like ordered on Amazon these like matching pajamas and it was like just a cute little like, literally like a throwback to like a 12-year-old slumber party that we were like reenacting. But it actually, I felt this like wave of this pang of like shame when I was like, can I have like the extra large? And when everyone else was putting their order in and they were like small, medium, large, small, medium. And then I had this moment and then I was like, no, Lily, you don't care. Yeah, you're a fucking extra large. You're probably an extra, extra large. Like what the fuck? Who fucking cares? So I had a pang of having to like check myself on that, like being like, should I just say I'm a large? But really I needed the extra large. And like, what's the shame? And then that was like a moment in my brain where I was like, oh, Lily, that's your old self. What the hell? And then another moment was when we're putting the pajamas on and like the extra large was a little bit tight on me. And I felt this moment of like being like embarrassed or like, yeah, just feeling like something was wrong with me. Like everyone else just like slid into their sleepover pajamas and mine like look awkward and I don't feel like good. I don't feel good in them. And that was like a moment of like remembering how I used to feel all the time when I was younger. But I barely ever feel that way now, but it does happen here and there.
How hard is it for you to shake it?
Easy. It's pretty easy for me to shake it these days. It used to be something that made me feel like the entire world was like caving in on me, and for days and for like I thought that my whole life was ruined if I wasn't skinny and if there was an indicator that something was wrong with me physically, it would feel like life couldn't start until that like got in check. But now I'm able to just be like, nope, I can pretty much just like talk myself off the ledge and go, that's not real. Like that's you just buying into that old belief. Like change your brain about it and like let it go. I can just let it go pretty quick now. And because I just like remember all the millions of things that I've learned over the last decade of interviewing all these awesome people. And like I can just like kind of try to rejigger my brain around the issue.
And what's like a good moment? What's a moment where you feel like you've conquered, you know, where you feel very self-accepting and it just feels really liberating? Is there like a moment you can think of like where this feels so good to like not give a shit? Like or just where it feels like, oh, whoa, I'm not like that person anymore. I'm like, really, I really have changed. Like, has there been any moment like that?
Every moment. Every day. I don't know. I feel every day, like love getting dressed every morning. I feel like I'm I just feel like I'm fully myself, like, all the time.
So along the lines of getting dressed every day is joyful now, as opposed to how it used to be. Can you talk a little bit about style versus fashion for you? What are those differences? What does that mean?
I think that fashion is like the clothing. Like, fashion is like the pieces of clothing that the tools, like, I like the analogy of like, fashion being like, if you were a painter, fashion is like the paints, and then style is being the painter and what you're going to do with those paints and how you're making the paints like your own. Now I don't think that's like what fashion, the fashion industry, I think, has like kind of butchered the word, that word fashion, like, and made it something that seems scary and bad and like something about being like in or out. As opposed to just like these blank tools that you can use to like interpret and make them your own. I feel like the industry has made you think that there's like right or wrong ways of having style, and that like fashion is something to be scared of because you could do it wrong and like you could interpret it wrong and makes you cool or uncool. But I think that that's bullshit. And I think that fashion should just be like this blank canvas of, I mean, fashion should be like these endless paints that you can use in your body as like your blank canvas of like how you want to embody and like use those paints. And for me, I feel like for me, my style is like, I don't pay any attention to like what's in fashion at all or what fashion magazines say. I just pretty much like just feel inspired by colors and feel inspired by, like, they feel like being colorful and being like being colorful like kind of reflects like my kind of like innocent, like youthful, joyful like essence. And I've gotten more and more into just like expressing that as I've gotten more comfortable in myself.
So have you ever felt the pressure to change your appearance or to conform with clothing? Like, can you talk a little bit about what that's been like for you? Like, to fit into standards or to norms? Like, was it ever hard?
Yeah, of course. I mean, my whole life it was hard, and that's why I started Style Like You, is because I didn't want it to be hard anymore. I mean, starting when I was like in, you know, like coming of age as a young in my adolescence, I started to hate myself and think I needed to be a stick figure in order to be cool, to have style, to be quote unquote in fashion. And I thought that I needed to look like the models or like the, you know, the waify ideal of beauty of that moment of the like late 90s, early 2000s. Like the Kate Moss, like the height of the Kate Moss era. I thought I needed to look like her, and that was what a girl was supposed to look like in order to be beautiful and to have style, and that you had to have her style in order to have style. You had to wear skinny jeans and you had to like be this like kind of aloof, waify, cool girl. And I never was that. I was never an aloof, waify, cool girl, and I never will be. Yeah, so I spent...
How would you describe you in comparison to the way...
A dorky... dorky... nerd? I don't know. No. Just like a warm and fuzzy, friendly... dork. Yeah, so I spent my whole,
years. I mean, what were you physically like compared to them?
I mean, I was probably at that time even, I was probably, yeah, I've always been like kind of hovering in the 175 pound to 200 pound zone of, for, and I'm like 5'9", 5'10", I don't know. But I would obsessively spend my whole childhood adolescence trying to lose weight so that I could be as close to looking like them as possible. So that meant like I was monitoring my eating, like eating no more than like 600 calories a day and like exercising at 6 a.m. before school obsessively and like And like, but the thing is, I never was able to even get nearly as close to looking as them as I even wanted, because it's just like my body was not going to do that. So
what'd your body do?
My body. Yeah. So I mean, the lowest I ever got on the scale was maybe 150, 160 pounds, which I was, you know, happy about relatively compared to how, you know, what how much I weigh now. But I would lose my period when I was like 160 pounds, which is obviously showing that like I wasn't even meant to be that, which many girls these days would think that 160 pounds is like an atrocity. I'm sure a lot of people would still think that's scary to be that big, but that was the skinniest I ever got. And I would lose my period. So obviously that.
How long would you lose your period?
I would lose it until I stopped eating that way and like being that way.
Until you were what weight and like eating what?
Until I was back to like eating, not obsessively controlling my diet and eating more than 700 calories or 600 calories a day and not like working out all the time. So
what do you?
So my body was meant to be. My body is meant to be how it is now, which is like closer to 200 pounds.
Can you talk a little bit about what the journey has been, getting to the place where you express your style now, you know, freely and like? So what's that? What was that journey like?
Well, I mean, it all, you know, the journey of healing and liberating myself from that like yo-yo cycle was. It began through. When we started Style IQ in 2009 and we started to go interview people in their closets about their style, diverse people, you know, the same type of people we interview now. And I started to realize that, like, there was a difference between style and fashion, and that the reason that I was feeling so badly about myself and feeling like I couldn't fit in was because I was buying into the like limited idea that like there is one type of style and that's kind of good or bad, or that there's a way to be in or out of fashion. And that through us interviewing all these people who marched to the beat of their own drum and didn't really buy into the standards of the marketing machine, and express something like so unique to them in their style, I just kind of became liberated to the fact that I could even try to figure out what was my style. And that was separate from, you know, the style of like the it girls of that moment.
So how did it start to change? Like what?
Yeah, I mean, at first, the first phase, I think, was like me just becoming like really inspired by like wearing dresses and skirts for the first time and like going to flea markets and like realizing they didn't have to wear these like, you know, things that like clenched my body, like the skinny jean thing was like the real like torture of my adolescence as far as like clothing goes. As far as just like feeling like something was wrong with me because I could not fit into those fucking skinny jeans. And no matter what, you know, the biggest size, no matter what, like I just could not unless I was like borderline starving myself. So I think it was just liberating for me at first to just realize, oh, I can wear loose things and flowy things and they don't sell this at like whatever, wherever I was shopping, like Havana jeans in the Westchester Mall where I used to shop. But that I didn't need to buy those things. I could find like more unique individual things at like vintage stores and flea markets and stuff. So I just got like kind of obsessed back then with flowy dresses and like embroidered dresses and skirts and stuff. And that was like the first phase. But then after like a few years of that, I started to realize that in my own way, I was still sort of hiding under those dresses and under those like baggy flowy things, because it was still like kind of part of like not wanting to show or really confront my body. So I think over the last like 5 years after, like, I still am really drawn to those types of things. Like I'm still drawn to like colorful dresses and skirts and flowy embroidered things. But I've challenged myself to like not only wear like baggy things that kind of hide my body and my figure. Like I've challenged myself to wear tighter things and like, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, things that might reveal like the wideness of my hips, or the cellulite might even like come through a little. You may even see a bump like through the skirt, but like, yeah, I've just challenged myself to, or another big thing has been like showing my arms. Like until like 2 years ago, I never would like wear a tank top because I thought my arms were really gross and like, too big. And so I've just like radically like challenge myself to just like stop doing that, because I started to, there were people that I admired that like had arms my size or bigger that were rocking like tight spaghetti strap dresses, and I was like, if they like make him. That like I don't know, like I've been really inspired by like two women that have really influenced me since have been Paloma Elsesser and Naomi Shimada, who we've interviewed for What's Underneath and who also I follow on Instagram.
Both of whom we've interviewed.
Yeah, both of whom we've interviewed for What's Underneath and who I follow on Instagram. And they like just totally like rock. You know, they just, they're the prime examples of like they make me want to be my size or bigger or whatever. And like they make roles in their cellulite or whatever look amazing and like desirable. So because they accept it and own it. And so they've helped. Yeah, they've inspired me to push myself further. So now, yeah, like I'm wearing a fucking tube top right now underneath like this thing I'm wearing. Like, you know, I would never have done that a few years ago.
What's the biggest risk that you've taken with your style that you can just sort of call out or remember? Or
I don't know. I think I feel like I'm taking a risk every time I wear just like a really form fitting, not black, but something cut like kind of lighter and form fitting. Cause like black makes you, I feel like it's still a little bit hiding. So like something like anytime I wear like something that has is form fittings, like spaghetti strappy. Yeah, I feel like that's like what it makes me kind of squirm a little, but like I do it anyways to push myself. I don't know. Can you think of something I've worn that feels like a risk? Oh, that jacket.
Which jacket?
The blue jacket. I mean, that's different. Yeah, that's a little bit different.
Explain it.
I think
explain that jacket.
Yeah. How do you explain it? I don't know how to explain that jacket.
This electric blue, like cobalt electric blue, humongous pillow down jacket that you bought, that I made you go buy this year because you refused to wear coats in the freezing cold winter. And you're walking around like freezing all the time and I can't stand it. So I tracked down this coat that actually we was inspired by Naomi Shimada, she wore it, and I think that's where we found it, right? And
girl crush.
Anyway, you found it and you wore it, and so what was it like? I mean, you've never really worn anything that kind of attention grabbing. I think
I feel like it's been kind of like a cool marker of like growth in me because I get so many reactions on the street, like good and bad. Like some people are like truly laughing in my face, like being like. Which I think you experience more often because your outfits are a little bit more attention grabbing and out there. And like, I think you know, people like call you a witch and stuff like on the street. And I don't think I've ever stood out that much. Like, and I think that I've maybe been a little bit afraid to. And this jacket, like, yeah, it really does. Like someone was like, I've seen people take pictures of me unwanted on the subway, like, and like laughingly like text it to their friends or maybe post it on Instagram. I don't know, but I can tell they're doing something and it's mean spirited. But I also, like, on the flip side, get a lot of, like, really joyful reactions, like people being like, that made my day kind of thing, or running up, like, a mailman ran up to me and was like, I just need to tell you, like, that would make me so happy, and, like, to see that colorful, like, thing and whatever. So I think it's a cool marker, because I think, like, a few years ago, I probably would have been, like, really ashamed or embarrassed that, like, I was drawing that kind of attention to myself or that anyone could be judging me in any way. Like, it didn't stop. So like, it could have, I feel like 5 years ago, it would have stopped me from wearing it, maybe, that, like, someone laughed at me on the subway. But now I'm like, fuck you.
Now is it's kind of, like, opened a door? Do you want more of that? Do you want it, like,
it definitely, like, sometimes feels like a violation. And I feel a little, like, it's not a great feeling when someone's laughing at you on the subway. But at the same time, there's something empowering about just kind of giggling back, like, giggling to myself about that they're laughing at me and like realizing that I don't have to change.
I actually love when people are laughing at me or any kind of reaction at all, because I feel like that's kind of the whole fun of clothing and everything, is to create that sort of dialogue and something that's, you know, so anyway, we'll get into me next time. Outside of style like you, what's the biggest risk you've taken in your life? Because we've talked about what a huge thing that is for you. That's obviously a big risk, but like what else?
Well, I mean, I definitely think the biggest risk I've taken in my life is starting Style Like You, and continuing to do it every day is a risk every single minute of every single day. And I feel like that I live that feeling 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, of feeling like I'm constantly taking and living inside risk. But because I have had no other job and have no intention of having another job, and so this better fucking work. but
could you imagine not living in that risk?
I mean, it sounds relieving, but it sounds like it could be a little bit relieving. But at the same time, no. I couldn't imagine losing what comes. I mean, the feeling of the risk is can be a little bit stressful sometimes, and it's not always an amazing feeling. It can be like a, you know, it can make me, it can, yeah, it can cause a lot of stress sometimes. But at the same time, I would never trade it for, like, the flip side of it is the passion and the joy and the excitement and the feeling of possibilities and the feeling of, like, being, you know, working towards something bigger than myself and something that's about helping other people and helping myself too along the way. And I can't imagine losing any of that. So I accept the risk and I accept the challenges that come with, like, feel like living in that manner all the time, which, and the sacrifices that come with that. I mean, of course there are days where I'm like, I just wish I could just, like, completely, like, clock out of, like, these stresses, but I can't. And
what's been your biggest achievement?
I think my biggest achievement has been, this is so cheesy, but I think, like, the biggest achievement is just, like, the, like, when the moments that I feel, like, the, or, like, I feel my sense of achievement, the moments that I feel the responses and the effect of the work that we do on other people. Like, I wouldn't say I have feel like it's, I wouldn't say it's, like, in any one, like, milestone, like a book or anything like that. It's like, it's the moments that I feel like I'm connected to the people who are watching the videos that we make and who are being helped by them that I feel the most proud of myself and the most, like that's what I'm living for. I'm not living for money and I'm not living for like Instagram followers, like for the number. Although it can be hard to remember that sometimes because it feels so important to, you know, it can be hard to remember that in this culture that I'm not living for money and not living for followers. But ultimately those are not the things that, like, make me feel the biggest sense of achievement or the biggest sense of fulfillment. I feel that through connecting with the people who are being affected by the work.
What would you say is the biggest struggle you're going through right now?
I don't know if I would say I'm going through it right now, but I think my biggest, like, general struggle in life is, like, with boundaries and, like, putting myself first and, like, being a people pleaser and an accommodator of people. And like, it's something that I'm working on very actively, is, like, learning how to kind of stand up for myself and put myself first and not put someone else's needs and feelings above my own. So whether that's, like, as a boss or as a friend or in romantic relationships, though there hasn't been one of those in a while to exercise this with. Yeah, just,
do you want to talk about that at all? Is that a struggle?
Having not had a romantic relationship in a while. Yeah. I mean, it's a struggle. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely moments where it feels like a struggle, but then there's, I feel more comfortable with it than I have in a while, I think, at this moment. I feel kind of a more at peace than I have at other times where I've been more, like, obsessively, like, oh, it's been too long, I need to meet someone.
So is the guy thing, being more comfortable with not being in the relationship right now, it's kind of coinciding with, it seems like, with a lot of other...
I think I'm not in a relationship and not really looking for it right now because I'm, like, healing myself from, like, having put men's needs above mine repeatedly over and over again in, like, romantic relationships so for so long that I, like, I'm just in, like, a pulling back, like, kind of moment of, like, getting stronger in myself before I, like, go back into that warrior field. But yeah, I mean too many, like, relationships were more about, like, pleasing and being too scared to, like, advocate for my needs or to cut things off the minute someone was disrespectful, like, a little bit too accommodating and too forgiving when the person would be doing disrespectful or hurtful things towards me. But yeah, it goes into every part of my life, though. It goes to being a boss, being a leader, being a friend. Just, like, learning how to stand up for myself and, like, honor my needs. It's like my big challenge. And to not worry what people think
that you can really hide from and end up and be happy at the end of the day.
Yeah, so I'm trying to face it, but also be kind with myself because it causes me a lot of anxiety to stand up for myself or to like draw a boundary. So it's not my total comfort zone. So I also have to be like nice, because the flip side of that, like that struggle, is how empathic I am, and that's a quality that I really like value, and I wouldn't want to lose that. So like the same quality that makes me a good interviewer or someone that can relate to so many people's struggles and put and feel their pain so deeply when I'm doing what's underneath interviews or interviews on anyone, is the same person that like struggles with this, and putting up boundaries feels very harsh and feels like I don't want to hurt anyone else's feelings. So, cause I am so in tune with how other people feel. So I also have to recognize that it's okay to that it's just part of, it's going to be part of my struggle probably my whole life. Cause it's the flip side of like one of my best qualities, which is my sensitivity and my like, yeah, empathy.
Our blessings and our curses, right?
Yeah. So
what's your biggest source of shame?
I don't really feel like I really like have one right now, which is, I mean, maybe that's a lie, but maybe I'm just not thinking of it. But like there have been times where it's been like money and like how much money I have or style like you has and like kind of measures of success like that. But I feel like I've kind of let go of that. And then at times it's been my body. And I feel like I've kind of let go of that. I don't know what the current one is. I mean, it depends on like maybe it comes up in moments. Like maybe there'll be moments where I feel ashamed that I haven't had a boyfriend in a while, or moments where I feel ashamed about money. It depends who I'm talking to, kind of. Like if I'm talking to someone who like is living a certain, you know, like if I'm talking to someone who has expectations of me to be at a certain place in my life, you know, someone who values marriage or who values money, and they're talking to me about those things, maybe I'll have moments of shame around like those types of where I'm at on those scales. But I don't think like I truly feel deep down like ashamed.
Which is really cool, because it makes me, you know, I always think that, or we always talk about at Style Like You about how it's a form of activism in and of itself to just be the person that you admire, or to not go along with the status quo. And we show that through clothing, but what we're showing really is how that permeates through everything, like marriage, like money, like all of these things that are put upon us as pillars of success or being a worthy person. So, you know, just moving through your life, and it takes so much to move through life and be happy and be content not doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, you're actually making changes to those standards, because you yourself are someone who you feel worthy and you don't do those things, and you're changing the, just by doing that, you're actually changing changing what the norm and the status quo is. So I think that's really cool and really, really admirable. And it makes me excited to see you breaking a lot of the chains that maybe I wasn't able to break, but that I was able to help you to break.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I might start crying, but that's okay. Mm. But I think that's really cool. What's the next big challenge and change in your life?
I don't know. I think that the next big challenge, you mean like moving? Yeah, but I don't know. I think the biggest challenge in my life is going to be continuing to like advocate for myself in life, in every way, like, and the need stuff. Like, I mean, I think that includes moving. I think like I want to move. Or to the West Coast and which would make me not be in the same location as my mom, you, doing Style Like You together every day.
And
but that's
brother.
Part of, I think that's part of, that's a, like an extension of like what I'm working on, which is like, what do I need? And like putting that, making sure that that's like at the forefront of my mind and not always putting other things before me. So I think that just in every way, like, in every facet of my life, I think that's going to be continue to be a big challenge, an exciting challenge for me, is to, you know, figure to keep exercising that muscle and building that
muscle.
What
are you the most afraid of?
My biggest fear would be to lose style like you, to not be able to like continue building this vision of the world that I have through the work that we're doing. To lose that is 100% my biggest fear.
What does self-acceptance mean to you?
Self-acceptance means being comfortable with kind of your messy parts, or the parts about you that almost like aren't together, you know, like being open and honest about the things that you're struggling with, or that aren't perfect, or aren't, yeah, like and accepting that. It's not accept. I don't think it's just like loving yourself in every single way, like in this kind of flowery bow on it way. Cause I don't think that's like, I mean, that's a part of it, is like that it might lead to that. I think it can lead to that, but I think like it's the more important part is to be willing to like release shame around things that you're struggling with, and accept the things you're struggling with. I think that's, and to recognize that it's like, it's an everyday like practice of doing that. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Total sense.
Okay.
Yeah. That it's like, it's just, it's ongoing, and we're never, there's no such thing as perfect, and there's no like 5 things or 10 things that you're supposed to check off.
You don't like get to a place and then like life's good. Life's done. Cause I have self-acceptance. Like it's every day. Like there's a new thing you have to work through and accept about yourself and be honest about and like shed light on and be like, yeah. So just like remembering that.
Once one thing sort of is conquered, the next thing comes.
Right. Yeah.
And then Sarah Jane Adams, in one of our What's Underneath interviews, I've been thinking a lot about that lately, said, life gives you just exactly just about what you can deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so it gives you the chance to sort of conquer your challenges, but it will push you really hard
mm-hmm.
to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the freedom's on the other side. And if you could go back to your 12-year-old self and tell them one small thing to inspire their own self-acceptance, what would it be?
I guess I would tell my 12-year-old self that you are not the problem. Like, the world is the problem. The society, the media is the problem. And you're good just as you are. That was kind of cheesy, but
no,
yeah,
that was really beautiful. Thank you. That was amazing. That was fun. I wish we could keep going. That was awesome.
We hope you were inspired by this episode.
Until next week, that's it from me, Elisa.
And me, Lily.
If you agree that facades separate us and being radically honest brings us together, help spread the movement for radical self-acceptance by sharing this episode and subscribing to our podcast.
You can also watch our videos by subscribing to our YouTube channel and following us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook using the handle @StyleAQ.
That's the letter U instead of the word you.
And check out our book, True Style is What's Underneath, The Self-Acceptance Revolution, on Amazon or at a local bookstore near you.
We can't skip ahead to a happy ending or live inside a Photoshopped image or an Instagram filter. There's no finding oneself when glossing over the truth.